The message that I have for you is important, but it's lots and lots of words. And I wanted you just to relax and let these words kind of flow over you. Life is so complex that chance processes, even over billions of years, cannot explain its origin. This is our lesson six of this second series, and it's entitled Genetic Information. The genes are the code that is built within us in our DNA that describes how you will grow, what you will look like, height, weight, you know, all these things. And it is information. Now, information never self-assembles. You don't find letters gathering together, forming words, and words bumping into other words and forming sentences. It doesn't happen. The genetic information in the DNA of each human cell is roughly equivalent to a library of 4,000 books in each human cell. 4,000 books. Carl Sagan, how many have heard of Carl Sagan? He showed, using straightforward calculations, why one cell's worth of genetic information approximates 4,000 books of printed information. Each of Sagan's 4,000 books that he was talking about had 500 pages with 300 words per page. This is in Carl Sagan, The Dragons of Eden, his book. So, some illustrations. Each book of the 4,000 books would have a volume of the actual size of about 50 cubic inches. Cube, inch by inch by inch. 50 cubic inches. An adult human's body contains about 10 to the 14th cells. Now that's 10 times 14 times itself. About 800 cubic miles have been eroded from the Grand Canyon. Okay? So if you had it all covered over, you'd have to take 800 cubic miles out. Therefore, we can say that if every cell in one person's body were reduced to 4,000 books, they would fill the Grand Canyon 98 times. That information, those books. The moon is 240,000 miles from Earth. If the DNA in a human cell were stretched out and connected, it would be more than 7 feet long. Be too small to see, but it'd be 7 feet long. If all the DNA in one person's body were placed end to end, it would extend to the moon 552,000 times. That much information in an adult human body. The DNA in a human cell weighs 6.4 times 10 to the minus 12 grams. Very, very light. Probably less than 50 billion people have lived on Earth. If so, one copy of the DNA of every human who ever lived, enough to define the physical characteristics of all those people in microscopic detail, all of that would weigh only 0.32 grams. This is less than the weight of one aspirin. So, talk about microminiaturization. Dawkins, you know Dawkins, famous atheist, wrote The Blind Watchmaker. So, he says, evolution is our watchmaker, but it was blind. Here's what he says. There is enough information capacity in a single human cell to store the Encyclopedia Britannica, all 30 volumes of it, three or four times over. There's enough storage capacity in the DNA of a single lily seed or a single salamander sperm to store the encyclopedia's 60 times over. Some species of the unjustly called primitive amoebas have as much information in their DNA as 1,000 Encyclopedia Britannicas. So, even if matter and life, perhaps a bacterium, somehow arose, the probability that mutations and natural selection produced this vast amount of information is essentially zero. There's not a chance. It would be analogous to continuing the following procedure until 4,000 books were produced. So, five steps. Step number one, start with a meaningful phrase. Hi, my name is Jack Weigel. Okay. Now, retype that, but make some errors and insert a few letters. Now, see if the new phrase is meaningful. Not so. If it is, replace the original phrase with it. It now becomes the starting point. And the fifth step is return to step B, add some more errors, and check to see if that makes it even more meaningful. So, of course, it won't, because that's just randomness, and you don't get meaning out of randomness. To produce just the enzymes in one organism would require more than 10 to the 40,000th power. Just to begin to understand how large 10 to the 40,000th is, realize that the visible universe has less than 10 to the 80th atoms in it. The whole universe that we can estimate. 10 to 80. This is 10 to the 40,000th. 40,000. In 1972, evolutionists out of ignorance began referring to large segments of DNA as junk DNA. Have you ever heard the phrase junk DNA? You talk about this? Because that DNA supposedly had no purpose and was left over from our evolutionary past. What evolutionists call junk DNA is now known to produce microRNA, which is vital for each organism's health and also controls to a large extent the production of proteins. Cancers, lung, breast, stomach, prostate, colon, pancreatic, and brain are frequently the result of damaged microDNA. Based on all known experience, scientific or otherwise, information only comes from intelligence. That's where information comes from. Vast amounts of information require a vast intelligence, if it's really information. So, are you familiar with the phrase, the elephant in the living room? The picture is that you're sitting there talking to people, and they're talking about how their day was and how you like the weather, and there's an elephant in the room, but nobody's talking about it. Nobody's saying, sure smells funny in here. Nobody's talking about it. There's an elephant, but it's so noticeable, but nobody's mentioning it. Writer George V. Kaler interviewed Sam, a molecular biologist. George asked Sam about his work. Sam said he and his team were scientific detectives working with DNA and tracking down the cause of disease. Here is their published conversation. George, sounds like pretty complicated work. Sam, you can't imagine how complicated. Try me. Well, I'm a bit like an editor trying to find a spelling mistake inside a document larger than a four complete sets of the Encyclopedia Britannica. 70 volumes, thousands and thousands of pages of small print words. With the computer power, you can just use spell check. There is no spell check because we don't know yet how the words are supposed to be spelled. We don't even know for sure which language. And it's not just the spelling error we're looking for. If any of the punctuation is out of place or a space out of place, or a grammatical error, we have a mutation that will cause a disease. Well, how do you do it? We are learning as we go. We have already read over two articles in that encyclopedia and located some typos. It should get easier as time goes by. Key question here. How did all that information happen to get there? Do you mean, did it just happen? Did it evolve? Bingo. Do you believe that the information evolved? George, nobody I know in my profession truly believes it evolved. It was engineered by genius beyond genius. And such information could not have been written any other way. The paper and ink did not write the book. Knowing what we know, it is ridiculous to think otherwise. A bit like Neil Armstrong believing the moon is made of green cheese, he's been there. Have you ever stated that in a public lecture or in any public writings? No, it all just evolved. But what? You just told me. Just stop right there. To be a molecular biologist requires one to hold on to two insanities at all times. One, it would be insane to believe in evolution when you can see the truth for yourself. Two, it would be insane to say you don't believe in evolution. All government work, research grants, papers, big college lectures, everything would stop. I'd be out of a job or relegated to the outer fringes where I couldn't earn a decent living. I hate to say it, Sam, but that sounds like intellectually dishonest. The work I do in genetic research is honorable. We will find the cures to many of mankind's worst diseases. But in the meantime, we have to live with the elephant in the living room. What elephant? Design. It's like the elephant in the living room. It moves around, takes up an enormous amount of space, loudly trumpets, bumps into us, knocks things over, eats a ton of hay, and smells like an elephant. And yet, we have to swear it isn't there. In the magazine The Ledger, he wrote the biologist and wrote that out. Now, if that had been all, I would have put it on the PowerPoint. But I want to read you perhaps a couple of articles here. This coming from the September 4th, 2012 e-news issue, The Astonishing Powers of Junk DNA. Nearly 60 years ago, Francis Crick and James Watson discovered DNA and caused a revolution in the field of genetics. Nearly 10 years ago, the human chromosomes were sequenced, opening the entire genetic code to scrutiny. Significant portions of DNA were thought to be junk, leftovers from evolutionary developments no longer needed, superfluous coding we did not use. Yet, with every advance made in the study of genes, we discover new levels of complexity in DNA, and we realize how much more we have to learn. It turns out that junk DNA is not junk after all, but provides timing and control mechanisms vital for the body's health. It turns out that less than 2% of DNA codes for the production of proteins used for building everything from bones to skin, organ tissue to red blood cells. For a long time, much of the rest of DNA was considered excess baggage. Beginning in 1990, the Human Genome Project, HGP, worked to map the 3 billion chemical nucleotide bases of the human genetic code. With great fanfare, the HGP gave the world the human genome in April of 2003, 2 years ahead of schedule. When the HGP, Human Genome Project, began, some scientists only wanted to map the sections of genome that was coded for protein. This is how you're built, structure. Mapping all the junk DNA was considered a waste of time because it served no known biological role. 20 years ago, geneticists expected humans to have far more genes than the lower animals, perhaps as many as 100,000. It was a shock, when they actually found out the truth, that they discovered the humans had only 20,000 to 25,000 protein-coding genes. about the same number as a mouse. It didn't make sense. Humankind felt insulted that we should be comparatively so few genes. In fact, it turns out that rice, the food staple that goes well under stir-fry, possesses 28,000 genes, and the pufferfish has 27,000 genes, both notably more than the human genome. Yersinia pestis, the bug that causes plague, boasts 4,052 genes on a single chromosome. Yet humans have just six times as many on 46 chromosomes. The sea urchin, a hard ball filled with gonads and little else, boasts 23,000 genes. There was at least one conclusion to draw. There had to be more to human DNA than just blueprints for protein. This is telling us that much of our DNA are there for control and timing. It was recognized that large portions of the genome appeared to be waste material. Scientists had suggested several reasons for the existence of this. According to one hypothesis, these chromosomal regions were trash heaps of defunct genes, often called pseudogenes, which had been cast aside and fragmented during the process of human evolution. A similar suggestion was that junk DNA serves as a gene reservoir from which potentially advantageous new genes might emerge. There was some idea that the non-coding DNA provided timing commands for the coding DNA, telling it when to start and stop replicating. Nobody appreciated the extent of the regulation. During the past 10 years, the Encyclopedia of DNA Elements Project, or ENCODE, ENCODE, has worked to decipher the meaning of the 3 billion letters in the human DNA and determine their secret function. This consortium of scientists from dozens of labs across the globe spent a decade analyzing genetic sequences from 140 types of cells. And the results of their studies show that the patterns found in non-coding DNA are not random after all. Instead of being a trash heap for failed evolutionary attempts, non-coding DNA serves distinct and vital purposes. In 2004 study conducted by David Hausler of the University of California, Santa Cruz, compared the genome sequences of a man, a mouse, and a rat, Hausler's team was surprised to discover that several large portions of DNA were identical across the three species. To be certain that the patterns were not simply a coincidence, the researchers looked for sequences that were at least 200 base pairs in length. Statistically, a sequence of this length could not appear in all three by random chance. Amazingly, the researchers found no less than 481 distinct sequences, each consisting of at least 200 base pairs. They were common to humans, to mice, and rats. Chicken and dog genomes were also found to have a majority of these sequences, and even fish shared a large number. What really surprised us was the regions of conservation stretched over so many bases. We found regions of up to nearly 800 bases where there were absolutely no changes among human, mouse, and rat, said Hausler. Some of the sequences were found to overlap with genes that code for proteins, but the majority of them did not. Of 481 sequences, 256 showed no overlap, 114 had no conclusive relation to genes. So he and others decided to refer to these sequences of non-coding DNA as conserved elements or ultra-conserved DNA. Looking through the lens of the evolutionary theory, they believed that there had been about 400 million years since humans, rodents, chickens, and fish shared a common ancestor. Yet despite 400 million years of evolution, they were amazed to find these sequences unchanged, suggesting that the conserved DNA was important for ensuring survival. It had to be there or we couldn't live. Regulatory wiring. ENCODE researchers have now informed us that DNA has some 4 million regulatory sites, which act like switches to turn genes on and off. In other words, individual genes don't necessarily code for just one type of characteristic or function. They are like 25,000 instruments being directed to perform a complicated genetic symphony, That'd be quite an orchestra, 25,000. Just as the 26 letters of the English alphabet can be used to spell a vast variety of words, genes can be used at different times in various combinations with other genes in different types of cells. The 4 million regulatory sites, or transcription factors, determine when and how long certain genes are expressed, offering a nearly infinite number of possible combinations. These regulatory maestros direct the genes when to play their part and give the biochemical directions necessary to build and maintain our bodies day by day. The complexity of this is mind-boggling. This is where nothing was left to chance. Everything has its times and starts and stops. There is a modest number of genes and an immense number of elements that choreograph how those genes are used, said Eric Green, director of the National Genome Research Institute. It's also been demonstrated that genetic defects do not only cause problems in the genes that code for proteins, but can also interfere with the proper regulation of the genes that code for those proteins. In fact, the researchers now believe that genetic diseases are caused far more often by combinations of defects in the non-coding DNA than in simply protein coding genes. The genes might be there to make the proteins, but they are not being turned on and off at the ideal times. It may be that certain diseases like lupus and diabetes can be caused by a few genetic mutations in the regulatory regions of DNA. Humans are 99.9% identical to each other, and you only have one difference in every 300 to 1,000 nucleotides, said Manolis Kellis, associate professor of computer science at MIT, and major contributor to an article published in September 5th issue of Nature. What ENCODE allows you to do is provide an annotation of what each nucleotide of the genome does so that when it's mutated, we can make some predictions about the consequences of the mutation. DNA research has revealed a galaxy of new information over the past several decades. Through a better understanding of our genes, scientists have been able to diagnose the cause of many illnesses faster, more accurately. Doctors can now develop customized treatment plans for patients based on their specific genetic codes. Yet, while scientists have learned a great deal about the human genome, the majority, our DNA, remains a mystery. Secular scientists may see these new discoveries as additional evidence that humans and animals came from a common ancestor. However, there is another possibility. These sequences are simply some of the necessary DNA ingredients for making vertebrates, animals with backbones. Make them work the way they do, whether they are mice or dogs or humans. They provide the fine details of the genetic recipe for these creatures, instructions written in code by a brilliant creator whose blueprints include mysteries that we simply have yet to unravel. So, a lot of words, a lot of talk. Final analysis is we are complicated almost beyond our ability to grasp. And that is information. How can you imagine information evolving? The ink and paper, writing a book, you know, doesn't make sense. Nancy?
How would we think that we can eat the meat from those and they will nourish anything in us?
Yeah.
There has to be something in there that's useful.
Yeah, that's right. So the whole idea of evolution is being said to be science, and it is faith. It is a faith that is not so positive as to say, now we understand it. It is just a faith that God did not create. That's all that's the basis of it.